Welcome everybody to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I'm joined by Pete Zayas. Pete, I know you literally just said you don't have any serious thoughts on the jersey thing, but I have thoughts on the jersey thing.
Hey, please.
So, one, I'm very excited that the Lakers are going with their royal blue cursive things. Like, those are one of my favorite jerseys in the history of sports. Okay.
Jim.
That's off the top, you know. I think the Lakers are pretty uniquely positioned with their uniforms because that is part of their brand, just having awesome uniforms and a really cool color combination. But I kind of think Nike has put the league in an awkward position where you have teams coming up with really cool uniform ideas. Eventually, you're going to run out of ideas, for one thing. And then when you have a really good one, you should be able to go back to it, right? Like, you would think.
Yeah.
Like Miami's uniforms, Miami City uniforms last year, the teal blue that they had were incredible. And we only got them for 1 year.
You know?
And like that's like the beginning of my thought. And then the other thing that it kind of brought to mind too is a lot of fans are probably feeling at this point like you're just rooting for laundry anyway. And if you're just rooting for laundry, and that laundry
have nicer laundry. Yeah.
that laundry keeps, like, you know, turning over. Even when you like a particular set of laundry, I feel like it's the unintended consequence is a reminder that, yeah, that those guys that you're rooting for, you probably won't be rooting for them for particularly long.
Yeah, although it's nice to have a complete wardrobe, you know.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I remember growing up, it was like a big deal that the Lakers ever changed their uniforms.
Yeah, I don't think that's the world. Like, every time the Lakers have a new one, they're popular, you know, like,
yeah.
I don't know. I just think that's just a way different approach and mentality that's far more embraced than it used to be.
Yeah, I think I'm old. I think what I'm basically saying, like, long story short, is I'm old. You damn kids, and you're changing uniforms. And your social media influencers, all of you. I guess I'm talking to one, but still, you know. Today's show, we are not going to talk about jerseys the whole time. We are actually going to review. We're going to dip back into our player review series here and talk about Anthony Davis and the season that he had, in which I think, and actually this is kind of where I wanted to start, he reminded a whole bunch of people, yeah, I'm pretty good. I'm not just pretty good, I'm really good. And by the end of the season, you had people talking about best or most talented player in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, heading into the year, that was kind of my thoughts. Like, my expectation was Davis is going to remind people who were kind of out on him. And, you know, you kind of understand why. There was a dip in popularity. He didn't play as much the year prior because New Orleans was trying to keep him healthy to be able to get the best possible return for a trade. He had that whole trade demand thing, which never goes over particularly well. And you know, I had a feeling that just naturally his stock wasn't going to remain as low as it was. But now, looking back, would you have predicted it would rise as high as it did?
No, that wasn't my expectation. What I'm was most impressed by, again, the difference between following a player from afar, even a great player like AD, right? The Pelicans weren't on national TV all the time, and you know, my nose is deep into Laker tape, so I have more of a passing understanding of the rest of the league. I don't know their games as intimately as I know the Lakers players, and so him becoming that guy, his triple threat ability reminds me of Kobe. He's not as complete of a triple threat scorer as Kobe is, but he's like the tier below that. And yeah. I didn't realize he had it like that as I catch the ball in the mid post. And he really illustrated this in the playoffs even more so. And just that 50% mid range jumper type of guy, which is where the really elite mid range guys go to. And the types of shot, he hit a shot in the game against Denver where it was kind of a late shot clock situation. And he like jab stepped middle and then reverse pivoted toward the baseline and hit a 20 one footer. It wasn't a three. It was a long two, but there were like 2 seconds left on the shot clock. And it was one of those. I love sometimes when he makes shots. One of my favorite things about basketball is when someone just like swishes it perfectly.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like the sound that it makes and just that mm-hmm. whop, right? Where it just goes through. Yeah. And
like, if you're shooting the ball, you can actually see the net go up through the rim, back uh-huh. up through the rim. That's the actual
exactly
splash.
Because it snaps the net. Exactly.
Yeah.
He makes a lot of shots like that. And he made that shot like that. And it reminded me from a footwork perspective of that famous shot that Kobe hit in the corner against Portland. It was on mm-hmm. the opposite corner and it was a three for Kobe, but just that like reverse, that pivot off of the, you know, leg that's toward the baseline. Just and so that's a long way. I knew he was great on defense. I knew his motor from watching tape, and I knew he had ball handling ability. And but that triple threat footwork, just the nasty, like he makes me like curl my upper lip with some of the moves that he made, like right. That's I didn't know he had
watching
it
like late that. At night.
Uh-huh. Oh yeah, it's LFR after dark. Me and Anthony Davis tape. I make myself an adult beverage and turn the lights down low. Absolutely.
Make yourself an adult beverage and an adult video.
Hey. Okay. I don't want to say.
I think man, this is like I think this is going to become the new bit. Like we might have to retire the pizza bit. And then dive deep into you being a late night Laker creeper.
Oh yeah, just creeper Pete. Oh boy.
What's up, creeper fans?
Yeah, it makes that whole "what's up" sound a lot creepier, doesn't it? Yeah, it's right. A very dark turn on it.
The shot that I think you're talking about, it might be just a different one. And actually, you know, when you were talking about one of the things that you like to see from elite scorers is the ball, you know, the way that the ball sometimes goes to the rim. But also one of my favorite things to watch is the defender's reaction to a shot.
Yeah.
And if it's the shot that I'm thinking of where he turned and hit a fadeaway on the baseline that was late in the shot clock and whoever was guarding him was in decent position, mm-hmm. but still it was just, the ball goes through the net and you look down at the guy who is guarding him there and his shoulders just go, come on.
Right. Yeah. Like there's nothing you can do about it. It was kind of like that Blake Snell thing we were talking about the other day,
yeah.
right?
Where yeah.
that kind of guy, like when you play perfectly and you do everything you can do and you can't stop a guy, at some point you stop giving your best because you know that your best doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
Right. And so then when somebody like AD or Snell had it going that night, when they slip, you're not mentally in a position to capitalize on that because mm-hmm. you've already kind of like, oh, what's the point? And right. so it's so funny you said that I saw a play the other day where it was against Houston and AD hit another baseline fadeaway, but this was like out of the mid post. Right. So it was a little closer to the basket, but he hits this baseline fadeaway over the top of PJ Tucker. And he gives the little, when you see his like palm toward the ground, that's the, oh, he's too little
yeah.
sign. And so he did that. And then PJ Tucker ran by and like swatted him on the butt in that kind of like, remember when Kobe swatted Steph
yeah.
after Steph crossed him up, step back 30 right. footer just in his face. And Kobe just laughed and like, hey, like respect, you know? Yeah. Just, yeah. And PJ Tucker did that and they had a fun little moment right there. And that's part of it too, is that there's the psychology of the game where AD will do stuff where exactly what you said will happen. And that dude would be like, man, that dude's so nasty. And, and that's a win. That's a psychological yeah. win that carries forth toward, because you know that whenever that guy really wants to, there ain't not much you can do about it. And AD being one of those guys, while being the best defensive player in the game, man, we are very, very lucky to have him.
Yeah. And he could get better is the wild yeah. thing. And what I want to do, we're going to take a quick second. We'll talk about some of the ways he could get better individually. And then also in the third segment, talk about, you know, some of the expectations and some of the ways he could improve in the team construct as well. So sit tight. We'll come back and keep thinking about Anthony Davis and Pete watching Anthony Davis clips late at night. Today's show is brought to you in part by Built Go. Break through your wall. Everybody, every single one of us over the course of the day hits that time where you get that wall, whether it's mental, physical, whatever. Lately, for some reason, when Avery has been down for her nap, right as it's about to end, I just get exhausted thinking about what I'm about to what I'm about to embark on in chasing her all over the house all over again. And these protein packs that give me energy have been phenomenal in helping me break through that wall. It's like a 5-hour energy, but without the crash. Like, there's nothing worse than you can feel when that 5-hour energy is no longer in your system or it's no longer being effective. And then you immediately feel like you just fell off a cliff. And with Built Go, with these little protein packs, these 1.5-ounce protein packs, you never get that feeling. So visit builtgo.com and use promo code LOCKED. That's LOCKED, all just one word, and you get 20% off your next order. One more time, that is promo code LOCKED at builtgo.com to get 20% off. One more time, promo code LOCKED at builtgo.com to save 20%. Let's go. Just kind of going back also to like the interaction that PJ Tucker and AD had on that one play. That was one of the things I kind of liked about the bubble, was that it was kind of a return to just pick up ball, you know, in, just in terms of setting. The guys were, teams were executing just fine, but I liked, you know, sometimes it's hard to get that kind of interaction in front of 17,000 screaming people. Sometimes you charge it to a point where like people aren't, you know, players aren't really willing to be that kind of, you know, admit that kind of defeat on that one play. And that was one of the things, like, I thought some of the actual basketball interactions were a little bit more pure in the bubble than we might've seen otherwise. It was kind of fun.
I'll always cherish the basketball that we got to see in the bubble. I don't ever want to see it again because fans are part of it. Right. And the travel and just the, I wouldn't change the, I mean, there are some elements, right? Like, I think that we learned, hey, these guys can really bust their ass for a loose ball if they're not crashing into rows of cameramen. And they, you know, there are financial concerns, right? With, you've got courtside seats and those matter and generate a lot of revenue. But anyway, there are some things I'd love to change that we learned from the bubble. But overall, I wouldn't want to change anything that we do. But having that 1 year of just it being kind of this open run, not in intensity, but in terms of, that was just pure basketball, man. Again, with my creeper footage, I have, there's like 8 tracks worth of audio, and so I can mute the announcers, and I can take out like the, it's called NAT sound, which is short for natural sound, but it isn't natural at all, in that, you know how they were pumping in like cheers and defense clap, and I get all that crap out of there, and it's just the on court sounds, like the legit on court sounds, watching from like, man, it's, I want this offseason to last as long as possible so I can just creeper my way through all of that tape and all of those moments. And that's where I find these, Joey calls these micro moments, right? Where I find these like, oh, look at this fun little thing or this cool interaction between these two guys and whatnot. But yeah, we'll never quite have that again in the same way outside of the bubble. I would rather, again, everything was normal, but I'm really glad that we had that just from a pure basketball sense.
Yeah, it's the kind of thing that you like. You want to see it once. We've now seen it once. Let's get back to having fans there.
That's right. Nice place to visit. Wouldn't want to live there.
Yep. So the talking about what AD could do to improve individually, team-wide construct, obviously, some of the tape, like I think his biggest improvement is just going to come from interacting with LeBron James and watching tape with him as often as possible. But I think there were some tweaks that I'd like to see from him. Seeing as Phil Handy, it appears is going to be sticking around. One of the things I'd really like to see AD improve on is some of his footwork. I think some of his footwork is, especially in shooting, is kind of lazy. It's the kind of thing you can do if you're so talented. You can just kind of make up for it elsewhere. I wish he was more consistent on the catch with how he sets up his feet. Like sometimes he walks into it, sometimes he hops into it, sometimes he walks into it reverse, where it's like right left instead of left right. You know, some of those things I would prefer to see him just kind of more consistently go to, just because you know, in terms of the team's identity last year, I think one of the reasons why the Lakers were as dominant as they were in the bubble was because of how AD was shooting as a catch and shoot threat. And if the Lakers want to maintain that identity, that's great. I can understand why, but I think he would have to be a more consistent jump shooter in the regular season next year than he was in the regular season this year.
Yeah, when you follow a player day to day as opposed to from afar, you notice kind of the best version of them, but you also get to know the worst version of them. Uh-huh. And every player has this. Every human being has the good version of themselves. There's a bad Anthony. There's a good Anthony.
There's a good Anthony? I can't wait good to Anthony. Meet him. That'd
I know, I know. And everyone has that, right? And so learning that about Anthony Davis, kind of the bad version, or the, like, there's no bad version of Anthony Davis, yeah. The worst version of Anthony Davis, his lesser angels, I suppose, mm-hmm. is he is so talented that he can cut corners and still be very good.
Yeah.
And that inconsistent mechanics kind of speaks to that. And the reason why I think that it's that, because this is just me inferring and guessing it, right, is that in the playoffs, he was much more consistent with those things that you were talking about, his footwork, and that's the reason why he consistently produced from mid-range, and because he was focused on those fundamentals that sometimes he won't lock in on, and they're like, mm-hmm. I can still make the shot, and he will 35% of the time, but the best version of him makes it 50% of the time, as right. we saw. And so that becomes a question on, like, how important is the regular season next year, and if we want to win the maximum amount of games next year, yeah, he's obviously that version of him where he's more consistent in his fundamentals is a good thing. I'm not holding my breath. That's something that with AD, when we had nights where, like, we weren't playing as focused as we should have been, AD was at the forefront of that. We've talked about this a couple times, mm-hmm. and those are some of the manifestations of that. I think it's just a part of who he is, and hopefully that can improve, but I do think that that's just going to come with the territory.
I think him having seen such prolonged success with paying attention to those deals will make it more likely that he pays more. Will he do it every single night over the course of an 82 game season? Hell no. Nobody does.
And let's not act like he was not great during the regular season in aggregate, right? Like, he was still amazing.
Oh yeah, he was still fantastic. Yeah. I'm just saying, you know, I just think if we're looking for ways that he can be better, you know, to fall back to the Jury quote, right? The Jury quote from Black Panther. Yeah, it works, but it can still be perfected. It can still be better. So that's one place. Is there anywhere that you could, you know, you would maybe focus on in ways that he can improve individually?
I have, you know, I've banged this drum all year, but just passing reads. He's so talented that when he does lock in, this is Miami was able to, and he had some injury issues, right? But Miami, toward the end of that series, was able to, he wasn't the dominant force that he was at the beginning, again, partially mm-hmm. because of injuries, but teams can send extra attention to him, and he doesn't burn them enough as a passer to make them stop sending extra attention. So they were sending a lot of baseline help on him, and then that's like a read where somebody cuts from the weak side, which we weren't doing all the time, though he wasn't the only one that wasn't always focused. You know, and then the corner guy lifts up to the wing. Those should be, like, automatic, because he's going to face so much of that. And again, I want us to do what we did this year of put him in the high post, put him in post reads, have the regular season AD's minutes, have it run through him, make him get as good as he possibly can mm-hmm. at the reads that he'll have to make in the playoffs to beat those. But a lot of that comes from film work. I actually think this is a place where his footwork could be better too. He can get too tall and skinny and off balance as a passer. And so it's kind of like that quarterback passing off of the wrong foot. And all of a sudden a throw comes up a little bit short, and that's an interception when it could be a back shoulder completion or something like that. Right.
Yeah.
And so just those details of passing out of a double team, if he can master that, just unlimited potential.
Yeah, and actually talking about some of, again, and to be clear to those who are listening, like, I am nitpicking from a perspective of, like, I am anal when it comes to this stuff. Like, Pete, neither you or I were ever, like, a 100th as, maybe a 1,000th as naturally gifted as Anthony Davis is, right?
Right.
So, like, you and I, we were never really able to cut corners. If we were ever going to be good, it was going to be like by, you know, optimizing our movements out there and trying to really be as consistent as possible, because
our corners would be pristine. Yes.
Yeah. And now we would still suck. You know,
still would be a thousandth of
what we have the cleanest corners out there, but that's like the only clean part of my game. You know, but like watching Davis, you know, pass, and you talked about him getting kind of narrow and kind of vertical as a passer too. One of the things I was always really kind of paying really close attention to were his shoulder lines. Like if his shoulder lines weren't parallel with the ground.
Great point.
He just, it was impossible to tell where the pass was going.
And it makes sense intuitively, right? Like you're leaning, you're unlevel, you're unbalanced. Balance mm-hmm. is such an underlying part of all of the fundamentals of the game that, yeah, it makes sense. If you're askew in some way, that it's going to impact those passes.
And he's a natural scorer. He's not necessarily a natural passer. So when you're a natural scorer, you can make up for, you know, those corners that you're kind of cutting. But when you're not a very natural passer, you can't. The more natural ability isn't there. And that's where you see it show up, where even if he's making the correct read, the pass is getting there either too slowly because it doesn't have enough on it, or it's errant, which means the person catching that pass is now has to recollect themselves to be able to get the shot off, which takes away from the advantage in the first place. So like those are things that, you know, just individually, if he improves those or is more consistent with that over the course of a season, just, you know, percentage points of the time more often, it makes the Lakers a much better team. It makes him a much more efficient player. And, you know, that to me is the hairs that get that get cut when you're talking about, you know, an MVP type season or just a first team all NBA, quote unquote, Justin first team all NBA type season.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's, again, part of if Anthony Davis shot 50% from mid-range in the regular season, maybe he was the MVP. Maybe he wins that. You know? So, absolutely.
All right, let's take another quick second here. I want to talk about some of the stuff that we just talked about on the individual front. I want to talk about how that might impact the Lakers collectively and whether or not there are things that either the Lakers can do to make him a better player in terms of situation that he plays in, or ways that he can make the Lakers a better team than maybe he did consistently last season. So hang tight, we'll come back to that. All right, so again, to be absolutely clear, the overwhelming review of Anthony Davis's season was, holy shit, this guy's really, really good. Mm-hmm. You know, we're nitpicking a little bit here, and I want to make sure that we're absolutely clear on the Lakers were special last season, and they were special because LeBron James and Anthony Davis were special last season. You know, it's just, how can they do that more consistently or more often when they have to be? Because, you know, one thing that I don't think I can exaggerate quite enough is, or at least state clearly enough, is that I think next year the league is going to be better than it was this year.
Sure. The Lakers on the high end. Yep.
Yeah. The Lakers are going to have to be better next year if they want to repeat. So, you know, these are just ways that I think LeBron, as we talked about in his review show, and Anthony Davis in this review show, ways that they can, you know, elevate the Lakers, because at the end of the day, the Lakers are going to go as those guys go.
Yeah, absolutely. This year, the best players that we beat in the playoffs were, you know, Jimmy Butler, Jokic, Harden, Dame. Mm-hmm. Next year, there's a chance we have to beat Steph Curry in the playoffs. There's a chance we have to beat Kevin Durant in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. Giannis.
Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah.
Right? It's a different tier of superstar. And so, yes, we will have to be better to win the championship next year, especially when we've got factors such as fatigue and then a short turnaround that plays into that fatigue working against us. Mm-hmm. We've got a tougher road ahead of us, even as tough as this year was. It's going to be a different road and a tough one, especially as we get deeper into the playoffs when you're facing those type of guys.
The good news for the Clippers is that the Knicks are apparently open to taking on a bad contract. So Like the Clippers might luck out with Paul George. We'll see though. The thing with AD. So we talked in the last segment about his individual, you know, footwork and attention to detail and some of the things he does individually. I'm interested if you can think of any ways that the Lakers can make Anthony Davis better. Like if there are any ways that, whether it's roster tweaks, approach to while he's on the court with or without LeBron, if there's anything that you might be able to identify that might make him, even while he focuses on some of those things that we just talked about in the previous segment, make him more consistently, maybe even make it easier for him to focus on those things.
Yeah, I think guard play goes a lot into that. If we could get playoff Rondo for all season and for all playoffs even, mm-hmm. right? That guy who can and have a guy who can put pressure on the rim. Maybe that's Rondo, maybe that's someone else. I don't expect that to be Rondo during the regular season, right? But mm-hmm. the times in which AD struggled was when there were situations on the court where he could have used somebody who could handle the ball a bit and create looks for him, those non-LeBron lineups. For a portion of the year, those were a rough go of it. We actually improved quite a bit as the year went on in those non-LeBron lineups. But I do think that having a guard to pair him with would be really helpful. So that would be the main thing. I think a lot of the other places where he can improve as a, I mean, he's 27 years old. Like, of course he can improve as a, you become a lot wiser between 27 and LeBron's age. And he's got somebody like LeBron who's seen it all and who's been in his position to warn him of pitfalls and give him advice. Now, AD's going to have to make his decisions on the directions that he wants to go in, but he's got a lot of wise people who've been through it around him to help do that. And so just the general leadership of the organization, I think, will help, because Anthony Davis can be whatever Anthony Davis wants to be. You know, we always say that to our kids. AD is one of those people, like, if you're, you know, especially in the realm of basketball, and that includes his off-court type stuff, right? The sky's the limit for him. And mm-hmm. so helping him just grow into that and that comfort. And I think the next step for him will be him taking on a leadership role. Like, a THT's from Chicago. You don't think he grew up hearing about the legend of Anthony Davis when he was a little kid, you know?
And, yeah. Well, he's still a little kid, but yeah.
Sure. So I think that did that kind of stepping into what LeBron's become in a lot of ways, right? Of that wise man, right? As you get older in your profession, I think those are the next steps for him. But I think all of that's already in place. In a more practical sense, get him, you know, guard play, that would be very helpful for him.
Yeah, I want to build on a couple of those points that you made there. So one, regarding the guard play, I actually think Caruso's growth is really going to help Anthony Davis specifically. Like, I think Caruso and LeBron James understand how to play together. But if Caruso becomes more of a threat in the pick and roll, and he's going to be playing in a lot of those lineups where, you know, it's not going to be playoff Rondo during the regular season, so that burden is going to fall on Caruso's shoulders to be that player with Anthony Davis. And I think he'll take a couple strides there. I think we might be getting close to seeing Caruso kind of top out, where the improvements are going to be more on the margins than it will be, you know, very noticeable. But if in that regard, I think he can really help. And then, you know, talking about the off court or some of the confidence things, this is actually where I think AD is going to make the biggest step forward. Is there aren't any longer those questions. Can he be that guy? Can he win you a championship? Can he be the best or second best player on a championship team?
No lingering doubts, nothing. Nope.
Yeah. It's it. You know, he has his ring. He's a made man now. And I think there's going to be a lot of confidence that's going to come from that I think are going to make him a better night to night player. And then, you know, just that, if he ever does kind of have some of that doubt, he's going to have LeBron James there to remind him, no, you're that dude. Remember, you're that dude. And I think having gone through a full year of playing with LeBron is going to help in that regard. having a full offseason where LeBron is reminding him of that is going to help hugely. And then now going into set year two, where he and LeBron can be a little bit more real with each other also, I think is really going to benefit both of those guys on both ends of that relationship. And then again, the Lakers go as those guys go. If those guys' relationship becomes even more productive, that only means that much more for the Lakers collectively.
For sure. And you also have to guard against it going the other way, right? Familiarity can breed contempt, where you're around like, hey, we work together in this great way to accomplish a shared goal. A lot of times people's focus will, Pat Riley used to call this the disease of me after you win a title. Yeah. That's part of why it was so hard to repeat, is that you start thinking, okay, well, we did this thing as a team. Do I get more minutes, more touches, more endorsements, more focus on me? And that's one of those things that you have to guard against, is if they can replicate their chemistry and their selflessness. Remember, this is what LeBron said when LeBron was asked about their dynamic. He said the big thing about them is there's no jealousy. Mm-hmm. That's something that across the league, like, that's happened many, many times, right? Where two great players had difficulty connecting, because there's part of why they're great is they want to be the top dog.
Right.
And if they're not viewed as the top dog, that can breed some difficulties there. And that will always be a balance. That said, I think that LeBron, the age difference is really helpful here. And mm-hmm. LeBron apparently being immortal and an eternal basketball being is he's gotten all that out of it, whatever he had of it in his system. He's gotten most of it out and kind of sees why that shit really does not matter in a big picture sense. At least that's my impression. I think that we're going to be in good shape, but that's always something that they'll have to guard against.
Yeah, absolutely. Last thing before we get out of here, do you have any do you think, you know, Defensive Player of the Year is on the table this year? Do you think MVP is on the table for Anthony Davis this year? If you had a wager on, you know, an award that he potentially goes home with, beyond just the, now he's won first team all NBA with LeBron this year, would you wager on either of those for AD?
Those are so narrative based that they can be difficult to gauge what forecast the story is going to be. Mm-hmm. That said, I think that he will get some benefit from, everybody saw how good he was in those playoffs. There's something, you know, he's got that shine. And if he's able to go into next season, as he doesn't have the mileage on LeBron or Danny Green, so this quick turnaround will probably be less harmful for him, knock on wood, right? Although as you properly mentioned, he can get dinged up, right? Those are things that mm-hmm. that to be worried about. I do think he's more in the MVP conversation than the DPOY conversation, because I think we may see some slippage from the Lakers on the defensive end during the regular season. I hope I'm wrong, but I think that a big part of that will, you know, if the Lakers are able to be an elite defense during the regular season, I absolutely think he's in that conversation. But I think there's a decent chance that we drop a bit in those ratings, because those games aren't going to matter as much to us. And we're going to, you know, with a quick turnaround, probably, especially early in the year, make some sacrifices that will be reflected in certain statistics, net rating, defensive rating, and all of that. So put me down more, though, for the MVP, because I think he'll have he'll be empowered by that confidence you were talking about on the offensive end. And I think that LeBron will be more than willing to share even more of the offensive burden during the regular season with him that can help facilitate those numbers.
Yeah, I think I actually kind of go the other way in regards to the DPOY versus the MVP thing. I think it's really hard for some, like the quote unquote second option, the person who, you know, needs to be set up to win an MVP, right? Usually primary ball handlers, like, he's never going to have the kind of usage that, you know, the Stephs and the Giannis's.
I mean, his usage is in the 30s. Cause like he can be set up, but he didn't need to be set up. There were plenty of times where we just throw the ball to him. That was such a big part of our offense. It's like, go do something, you know, where he wasn't on the finishing end of a creation. And that's why he's around a 30% usage guy, even in the playoffs, even if he's not a primary ball handler. He's a great ball handler, dude. And he's not a great passer, but he can get his own. And that's why he is a high 20 scorer, you know?
Mm-hmm. The DPOY thing, I think we're going to see a voter correction this year for Defensive Player of the Year.
Oh, okay. Like a, sorry about that. You deserve this possibly last year. That's a good point.
The whole, like, the fact that Giannis wouldn't go out there and guard Jimmy Butler and then Davis did, you know, like if you're a voter and you voted for Giannis over AD there, you have to now store that in the back of your mind. You have to say, all right, sorry, that one's on me. I misunderstood the concept of defense in the NBA. So I think that's why I think it's more likely that AD wins defensive player of the, because like there's no sense that he was wronged in not winning MVP this year.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas
this is a great point.
There's a certain sense that he was wronged in not winning defensive player of the year. And I think that's what I would put my money on, is that
that's a really good argument. You've talked me over to your side. Yeah, you're right.
I don't think that's ever happened. All right, that's going to do it for this episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast and this week's episodes of the show. Thank you guys a ton for tuning in as we, you know, continue to try to find some clarity on what the season is going to look like, what the offseason is going to look like. I'm sure we'll get a few more details over the weekend on that. Tomorrow is Friday, and that's usually when they like to Friday news dump some of the reports on that stuff. So over the weekend, I'll dive back into that. Make sure you get your questions in on iTunes.
Please vote. If you have a mail-in ballot, drop it off at a location. Don't go through USPS if you can avoid it. There are drop boxes all over California, at least. I know we've got, you know, people listening in different places, but please vote.
Amen. That takes priority over even the iTunes questions. But when you get back from voting, please do submit a question, a 5-star review.
Sorry. Stepping all over you, man. I'm sorry.
No worries. Please be safe out there while you do vote. And let's hopefully alter some of the wrongs that we've seen over the last 4 years. Have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's. Talk to you on Monday.